Hello, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I'm excited to be moderating today's webinar on how text messaging can keep you connected to your employees, your clients, and your accounts. Text messaging was already becoming a more important component of the credit collection industry, but the coronavirus pandemic has made text messaging even more important, allowing companies to stay in touch with their employees, their clients, and their consumers. In this webinar, sponsored by Solutions by Text, we have a panel of executives from across the credit collection industry who are here to share how they are using text messaging and the benefits that the channel is offering companies of all shapes and sizes. As I mentioned, this webinar is being sponsored by Solutions by Text. You get the chance to hear more about them a little later in our program. Let me tell you a little bit about today's speakers. Roseanne Anderson is the Chief Compliance Officer for Ontario Systems. She's responsible for driving the company's consumer financial law compliance program, designing, innovative compliance solutions for Ontario Systems products, and leading the company's compliance consulting services and compliance outsourcing programs. Her 2 decades of experience in the ARM industry make her one of the most respected experts in the credit collection space. Also with us today is Megan Bryant. She is a Director of Operations and Client Support at Credit Collection Partners. She started as a collector at CCP 9 years ago and has since moved her way up to her current position. Megan is also responsible for all employee incentives and all operations within the company. Also with us today is Mike Cantrell, who is the president for Solutions by Text and oversees all aspects of operations for the product umbrella, including consulting, text messaging, text pay, and strategic partnerships. Solutions by Text has consulted with the consumer finance, utilities, auto finance, insurance, and other industries for more than 8 years and continues to accelerate the mobile industry through advanced technology. Our final panelist is Rich Stoller, who is the head of operations strategy at Best Egg, an online marketplace lender. Rich was a core member of the small team who launched the fintech company in late 2013. Since its inception, Best Egg has originated more than $10 billion in unsecured personal loans. Rich and his team of strategy analysts are responsible for enhancing the customer experience, mitigating credit losses, reducing expense, and driving the product roadmap across all of Best Egg's operational units. Prior to Best Egg, Rich spent 9 years at Barclays, holding analytical positions in customer care, collections, and credit risk. The format for today's webinar will be a panel discussion. We encourage everybody to submit questions and we'll get to them as the discussion is ongoing. To submit a question, please enter it into the question tab on your Zoom webinar control panel or type it into the chat box. This event is being recorded and a recording will be made available in the coming days on accountsrecovery.net. Finally, I want to ask everybody to reserve a minute and fill out the survey that should pop up on your screen when the webinar is over today. You'll also receive a link via email to access the survey. Your participation and your insights help me develop content that is what you're looking for and to find the speakers you want to hear from. I lost my spot in my script. So with that, I think we're ready to jump into our discussion today. So our first question, we're going to start with you, Megan. Maybe you can speak to how much more text messaging is being used in the ARM industry as a communication tool with consumers since the crisis started a few weeks ago. And have you found consumers are more interested in communicating this way since the crisis started?
Yeah, so since everything has happened and everything, you know, with the virus, we have seen an upshift in the texting for sure. People are using it more to, you know, as they can or cannot make their payments, they're texting us in that information, you know, I'll get my payment. So since in the last 2 weeks, we've seen a huge, huge surge in our texting. You know, it is the preferred method anyway, but now that, you know, all of this is going on, I think that it's, you know, it's really just made people text instead of call. And I kind of attributed some of that to maybe them thinking that, you know, we weren't open, there wasn't people to take calls, you know, because we've all left the office and are working remotely, but it's working out well, and it's getting the message out. And, you know, it's great too that it's customizable. So then you can, you know, if you want to put out there, you're like, please call us if you're having a hard time, or text us if you're having a hard time, you know, whatever, then we can communicate that way with them instead of trying to call, you know, every single person and say, hey, let us know if you need help.
Yeah. So Mike, for us, we've really tackled servicing in this COVID impacted world in a series of different phases. So we were in the midst of really testing our two-way SMS capabilities and collections prior to the pandemic. And we're seeing some really, really exciting positive results. But we had to stop pretty quickly when the pandemic hit to make sure that all of our available agents could handle the inbound call volume that we were receiving. So we quickly then pivoted to kind of a proactive communication through email and placing alerts on our customer servicing website, encouraging folks to self-serve. But we're at the point now for the next phase to create now a series of outbound SMS messages specifically around the pandemic and provide information that we need our customers to have.
Excellent. Thank you. We did have a question come in. It's an important question. I'm sure that a lot of people are asking, and I'm going to use it now, but I'm also going to use it as an opportunity to remind everybody, if you have a question for our panel, open up the Q&A button window on your Zoom webinar control panel and send it to us electronically, and we'll do our best to get it answered. Megan, Rich, I'm sure this question is directed at both of you, but how are you obtaining consent to text consumers? Is that something you already had, or is that something you're in the process of doing now, or both?
So for us, we kind of have a safeguard put in place when it comes to consent. If we have a RP on the phone, we go ahead and try to get consent at that point, send the message, you know, for them to give us the four digits back, and then they're good to go. But we have a lot of self opting in, you know, from our letters, from our voicemail drops, from, you know, them logging onto our virtual agent, you know, then they're able to go ahead and self consent. And so we've been doing it that way, but we are writing the, you know, there's a fine line there with consent and not consent. So we're making sure that we have consent before we're texting anybody. And we are also, you know, give that opt out option. So if they feel they're done with us and they don't want to text anymore and they'd rather have us call them, then that's fine too.
Yeah, I agree with Megan there. Consent for us is everything. So we prioritized very early on when we launched Best Egg to make sure that that was part of our application process, as well as our loan agreement. So every time somebody executes a loan agreement and receives a loan through Best Egg, they're opting into our wireless policy, including SMS text messages. But we are pretty conservative when it comes to responses. Once they reply stop, we opt them out immediately. But then also if there's any other words that we think, hey, this isn't appropriate, then we will opt them out proactively.
And I'll just add to that, Mike, you heard Megan talk through a list of consent options that it's a requirement that we document the customer's consent by text. Now, one of the ones you guys may have heard, and I want to make sure you have clarity on this, is how you can use letters to opt customers in for text. And the way that's done is just the positioning of a keyword on the letter that says at the top, usually in the top right-hand corner, we can communicate with you about this account by text. And they can text a keyword, text info to the short code. Now, when they text that keyword, that is an opt-in mechanism. And from there, we're seeing this rolling into two-way texting environments where agents can now do some additional right-party contact verification to confirm who that is, because it instructs them to reply with the name and account number that's on that letter. So this is just one example of an effective means of how to weave texting into other channels of communication that you've got put in play. Now, the other one Megan said I've got to do a shout out on is online or self-consent. You know, anytime they're coming into a customer portal or engaging you on the web in any way, integrating this back to your customer contact software so that if they're not opted in for texting, build a speed bump right here and give them the chance to, and first of all, create awareness that they can receive text messages about their account. And they do want text messages about their account, and they'll opt themselves in droves right here if you'll just give them the ability to do that on in through an online experience. So I just want to kind of pause that and do that quick shout out there.
And most people, I mean, we have huge success with our texting because, you know, the minute you say, well, you can go, you know, you can log into our, you know, our client portal, view all of your account information. Well, geez, then they've got to go to a website. They've got to put in their information. But if you say, hey, I can opt you into texting, then we can send that URL in a text. They hit that in their text message, logs them right in. So the, you know, anything you can do like that to make it so much simpler for, you know, we work generally with defendants, with the consumers though, is, you know, extremely helpful, as simple as you can make it. And then they're, oh yeah, let's text. Well, then we've got them on the hook for, okay, you didn't make your payment. Now we can send you a broken promise text. We can send you the 5-day reminder text, you know? So, once you kind of say, oh, I can make this so simple for you, all I need you to do is read me these 5 digits back off your phone and I'll text you the info. Easy done.
Well, you're right, Megan. Let me add one more comment right here. Customers perceive text messages as convenience if you position them that way. Mm-hmm. And let me also say that once your customers opt in for texting, and we've got months and years of documentation data, once they opt in for text, the opt-out rates are right at 1% or less. I know that's an astonishing statistic, but it's true. Once you demonstrate your ability to communicate with them by text, this is how they want to communicate with you. And as long as you don't compromise that in any way, they're not opting out.
Agreed.
Roseanne, let me bring you in for a minute on the topic of consent. Is there anything you want to share about the importance or best practices and what you've seen and how that, you know, how that can be obtained?
Absolutely. I do appreciate all the comments already made by Megan and Mike and Rich. The one thing I wanted to add is that in this particular period, going through this COVID-19 emergency, I have noticed that some businesses are trying to pivot and take on new lines of work. So they might be a new type of customer service representative. I just want to caution everyone, while obtaining consent to text in, let's say, the accounts receivable or credit context is very, very easy to do. We've listened to a number of ways already. Self-identify yourself with consent, provide consent verbally to an agent, provide it when you're admitted to a hospital, etc. But the point is, we never mentioned a writing requirement because one does not exist. The moment you move from sending an informational text to a consumer to one that is soliciting the sale of goods, the sale of a service, and new opportunity, arguably potential benefits, you need consent in writing. So absent any particular exemption, you would need to have consent in writing. That should not affect most of you, but it may impact some of you who are now, for example, taking on new lines of business. The other thing I wanted to mention, and we'll talk about this a little bit more when we talk about compliance in general regarding consent, but the management of the consent is incredibly important so that you know the source of the consent, the date that you obtain the consent, because you have a corresponding duty to manage the revocation of that consent, the date that it was revoked and the party who revoked it. So just a couple of observations, but by and large, I absolutely agree. Consumers prefer text messaging, and it's very easy to obtain their consent.
Excellent. Thank you very much. We got another couple of questions that have come in, so let me tackle those. The first one, what kind of CRM integrates with your service? Or I guess the other question is it a standalone? I don't know.
I guess that question's to me.
I think so.
The answer is we have a fully functional user interface that manages these consent requirements that Roseanne has spoken to. Many brands may start with a pilot program where they're doing what's called a secure file drop. We have environments that accommodate that and can process and deliver the campaigns. But the most important thing is also the management that Roseanne spoke about of the cell phone disconnects. So just know that our software manages those cell phone terminations as well. So where Rich said that a stop command should end text messaging, and there's other words that also demonstrate a desire to stop messaging, if they turn off their cell phone and that phone number is being reissued by the carrier to someone else, you should treat that like a stop command too. And our software manages that all the way through. Now, as far as integrating our texting service, that's our wheelhouse. API is our world. 98% of our messaging is delivering with computers, talking to computers, and we would just need to set up a different webinar to talk about what you're using and how we can accommodate that. Okay, Mike?
Absolutely. I think actually this is another question directed for you, Mike, wondering, will the new 10 DLC be able to support the high volume messaging that a dedicated short code can?
The carriers are indicating that they're going to get comfortable with that in 2021. But my experience has been that those long codes are not designed for high volume. And more importantly, the carriers are not accommodating delivery status returns. There's just some shortcomings of that 10 DLC world. Now, I'm going to resist from getting down in the weeds of what's going on with 10 DLC right now, because the most important thing is 10 DLC message volume is getting spammed downstream. Those messages are not delivering, and it's not a carrier preferred gateway of delivery. So I'm going to resist the urge from going further down that 10 DLC world. They're indicating that maybe they will accommodate that, but they've been saying that for 3 years now, and I haven't seen any evidence of it.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Mike, we'll stick with you for this one. Do you see this crisis affecting the adoption and deployment of text messaging in the credit and collection industry going forward once we sort of get through this and everything's sort of back to normal?
Well, the way I'd answer that question is this. This circumstance that we're all experiencing right now has really put a spotlight on this channel of communication, and it's created a real sense of urgency. From a consulting perspective, I encourage all of the agencies and organizations, where does this text ingredient fit in that recipe of omni-channel? And when we get to the other side of this, and you, whether you have this in play or you're putting it in play or you will put it into play, make sure that you're measuring what matters, what is working, and look for those opportunities for cost savings as well. I'm not saying that text should replace these other channels of communication. It should supplement it. But then based on how your customers are responding, then accommodate those responses and modify that omni-channel strategy so that you can maximize contact rates and engagements, but also maximize savings. There's some great learnings there. We may talk about that a little bit more in detail. So that'd be the highlight on that.
I would just like to add a little twist to that. Maybe the rest of the panel has a perspective they'd like to share. But for third-party debt collectors who are on this call, remember there is a prohibition against communicating with a consumer at any time which you know or should know is inconvenient to the consumer. Well, one thing about a debt collection, and that's a whole topic unto itself, but the manner of a text message is quite different than a phone call. A text comes in and does not require you to drop everything in order to take advantage of reading it or knowing the content of the text at a particular moment. As opposed to a live call, you either answer it, you don't. I'm not talking about voicemail messages, but you know, with a live call. So when a consumer who may find that this is an extremely inconvenient time to receive a call from a debt collector by phone, that might be quite a different story when they receive a text from the debt collector. So that is something to kind of consider in terms of being consumer friendly. It does not mean, the other point is I always want people to remember under the any legal interpretation of the TCPA or the FDCPA, a text message is a call. So that's why I'm kind of comparing the difference between a voice call versus a text message call. But arguably, it can be a very consumer-friendly way of opening the line of communication, particularly if you're going to end up helping them understand that they do have options during the COVID-19 emergency about deferrals, forbearance, new payment plans, etc.
Excellent. Thank you. At this point, I just want to pause the discussion briefly, and I'd like to say a few words about the sponsor for today's webinar, Solutions by Text. Solutions by Text is a division of Marketing Response Solutions, a privately held corporation whose primary focus is delivering critical information in an SMS format. SBT has developed a proprietary software designed to adhere to regulations within the mobile phone industry. Solutions by Text strives to develop a scalable solution with flexibility to meet industry changes and demand, maintain a functional user interface with various user access options, build products delivering a clear, consistent value, and construct a suite of services matching the demands of the consumer. For more than 25 years, SBT has partnered with a variety of organizations in multiple industries to design and implement a diverse SMS solution. Solutions by Text customizes a suite of services to meet client requirements and maintain ease of use. For more information, please go to www.solutionsbytext.com. Thanks to Mike and Pam and Danny and the team at Solutions by Text for sponsoring today's webinar. Now let's pick up with our discussion. We've talked a little bit about it, but Rich, I'd like to maybe spend a few more minutes and get a little bit more specific and some more details on what are the best types of messages that companies should be sending out to consumers.
Sure. You know, Mike, our primary objective when everything really started happening was to assure that our customers, that we're here to help them through all of this. We're going through it as well. Roseanne just mentioned payment, you know, assistance programs. We have those solutions. We wanted to let folks know that there's opportunities out there and plans that we have that they can take advantage of. We want to highlight the different channels that they can reach us to enroll in those solutions. We talked about inbound call volume. Everybody, other call centers were lit up. So folks quickly adapted from the consumer side and found the quickest way to reach folks. And email and text were definitely, you know, parts of those quick channels. The next thing that we wanted to get our message across was around that, hey, you know, our team is fully engaged and we're available. You know, we're taking the necessary precautions to keep all of our colleagues safe. But that's not going to limit the great customer experience that, you know, folks expect from Best Egg. And then finally, we wanted to hear really our customer stories and understand their individual situations. What are those folks going through? A lot of us are going through the same things. How has the pandemic impacted them? How's it impacted their families? You know, what are your specific financial concerns as we go through this? And is there anything specific that Best Egg doesn't have as an offering right now that we could build and quickly roll out to help folks?
I would just add to that with just one comment of best practice. Keep your messages encouraging and light. And what I mean by that, this is the olive branch that Roseanne was talking about. And if you'll put that out there, they'll engage you, and just let them know that you have agents standing by to help and that they have options. So just keep it simple and keep it light. I call these soft templates, and man, do they work.
Is that what you use, Megan?
Yeah, we do. And as far as the crisis and everything, you know, right now we're getting a lot of, obviously I can't make my payments or I need to reduce my payments. I mean, I'm sure everybody in the industry right now is getting that same response. And you know, a lot, what we're doing with texting too is also, you know, throwing it out there that, hey, we don't know if this is going to be over, and the hopeful two, and I've got a countdown board hanging on my wall right here. You know, we don't know when this is going to be over for sure. So why don't you let us just send you a text? Well, you know, that'll link, you know, log you into your account. You can go in there, review, you know, and get a hold of us that way so that, you know, if you're looking for other employment. So we've really tried to use the text messaging as, you know, in their favor rather than, you know, your typical annoyance or don't call me, you know, like, hey, we're going to give this to you and kind of put the ball into your court so that when your situation gets better, you have that there to go back to.
Mike, can I just add one more thought here? Rich referenced short URLs and how they work. We'll talk about that more if we have time on this call today. But I can't stress the power of video. See, these customers are, they've already engaged your brand. And where it makes sense to reach out to them with a video from some of your executive leadership to let them know we're in this together, to Megan's point, we're going to get through this. You have options. Connect with them. These are actually opportunities to build rapport, and nothing is more powerful than the video. So now short URLs that take them out to these powerful videos, consider putting something like that into play. And then, depending on your business model, if you need to discuss store closures, any impact to what's going on with your retail operations, things of that nature, it's not just specific to their account, but more so your operations or adjustments that you're making as a brand as well. Okay, Mike?
Excellent. Thank you. We've got another couple of questions that have come in here. I'm going to pause our discussion to bring those out. Roseanne, we've got one for you. Can a transactional text transition into being a marketing text? If so, at what point?
I can't even remember if we gave the legal disclaimer or not. So by answering this question,
this
I'm not your
legal
lawyer.
Advice.
Okay, but I am going to tell you that I would, if you were my client, I would not recommend it. Because you're going to end up arguing over, was the majority of it informational? Was the majority of it marketing? Which was it? The bottom line is the TCPA was amended a few years ago to be very, very specific when it comes to the requirement to have written consent for any marketing or solicitation calls and texts. So I would not combine the two. If you only have verbal consent, or if you really non-written consent, unless you have written consent that's required for telemarketing and sales, you should not be combining the two, period.
Roseanne, can I ask you a question, though, to kind of challenge that thought process a little bit? I think the exception here is in a two-way texting environment, right? So if you have delivered a transactional message, the customer is engaged you via two-way text, and they ask you a specific question about an installment loan product or something like that, right? An alternative to the product that they're using. And now a text message response with a URL takes them out to where those options are online. If it's not a triggered text, let's call it marketing text message, but it's a single customer scenario where there's a two-way engagement. Does that concern you at all?
There are so many qualifiers in your example that I would say yes. And many of the people who are listening will take that as a green light, and the nuances matter. So let me put it this way. In the old days, people would have consent to call on account A using an auto dialer. I can call the person using an auto dialer because I have TCPA consent. And the question used to always come up, but now that I've got them on the call and I used my auto dialer, now can I talk to them about collecting accounts because I didn't have consent to call using an auto dialer? You know what the court said? No. Now you introduced, well, what about if they brought up the fact that they have these other accounts, and can we talk about those now since you already called me on the auto dialer for the account to which I gave you consent? I mean, arguably, maybe that's defendable. But I am using the old days of, can we use auto consent to talk about accounts that we don't have consent for? And the answer was no. So that's where I'm coming from and why I'm not jumping to saying you can convert an informational text into a marketing text. That's the reason. But you might be right with the nuances you presented.
But again, it's not legal advice.
Sure isn't.
All right. So we've established the popularity and the growth potential that text messaging has in the credit collection industry. And we've talked about the opt-out rates. I'm curious about the response rates. Megan and maybe Rich, when she's done, you can talk about the response rates you have on text messages compared with letters, phone calls, or you know, smoke signals, whatever other communication methods you've got going on?
Rich just said he wanted to go first since he's the newbie. He'd like to give the feedback first.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. I think I mentioned earlier, we definitely had a phased approach with tackling, I think, this unique situation. As our voice work has dropped down a bit with volume, I think we ramped up email, but I think all of us on the call have probably had our email inboxes flooded with messages in the past few weeks from all types of brands, whether it's, you know, our primary financial services partner or a online store we purchased a hat from like 5 years ago. They're going to give us information on how they're doing and what they're up to. So with that being said, we're focusing now on providing account alerts and messages specifically around this using SMS. We've had a lot of great success in the past as we've gone through kind of new technology developments and servicing capabilities that we've rolled out to our customers, introducing those via SMS. We've had a great response to that. And I'm expecting coming out of this unique situation that I think our text messaging campaigns will be even more effective than what we've seen pre the pandemic.
And, you know, the question here, I'm reading it from the email and everything, and you said, what kind of response rates do you have? And I think we talk a lot maybe about, you know, how the response with the consumers, but I'm going to step for a minute and talk about the response with texting for our employees. Huge, huge. You know, we're obviously integrated. So we've given our employees the option to send out their own text messages. So, you know, you've got all of these accounts in your work list, you know, and you've got to get through them all and you want to get the new inbounds coming in and all of that. They absolutely love the fact that if they make sure they do their job on the first call and get that consent and get that person opted in, that they can just, boom, drop a, hey, we didn't get your payment. You know, here's how you can log into your account. Here's my extension. You can give me a call. And they can just go through and boom, boom, boom. They don't have to worry about, are they getting the letter? You know, they don't have to worry about taking the time to make a phone call and leave a voicemail again. You know, you just drop a text message. So I think as much as our consumers appreciate it and, you know, are more comfortable with it, maybe it's also on our end, huge for our employees, because it gives them a way to communicate also the way they're used to communicating. So, I think on both hands, texting is great.
Excellent. That's interesting. So how long have you given your employees the ability to sort of to send out their own text messages?
We've probably been doing that for about, I would say, maybe a year, maybe a little less at this point. You know, they don't have the ability to freehand text. That's a little scary. So we have them all formatted, but they have a plethora of options, you know, that to send the broken promise, to send here's when you're, you know, we automatically have them set up. We have a job that runs that sends out 5-day text reminders for everybody opted in, you know, and then a broken promise one that automatically goes out the day the payment didn't arrive. And so we've given them the ability for probably about a year now to, you know, be able to send their information, just to be able to not have to spell out your name, give your phone number, give your extension, you know, give the website, have somebody write it down, probably not correctly, just shoot them a text and have all of that is, you know, it's beneficial to everybody all the way around.
Yeah. I'll just make a comment here because I think it's important. Sorry to cut you off there, Rich. I'll be very brief. This one-off activity, just reinforcing what Megan just said, this is all templated. Message templates and standard language content is critical right here, even for this one-off activity. Rich, you had a thought, buddy?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think Megan makes an outstanding point around agent and colleague satisfaction. When we were able to roll out our two-way capabilities from a collections perspective, you know, the agents, our top performers, had the opportunity to post for that specific role. We got quite a bit of interest in that, and the folks that earned the positions did really, really well, and they enjoyed it. And it's an opportunity for them to do something different, but it helps us build a career path for some of our colleagues. So a lot of great responses in terms of the agent experience there.
And a lot of fun once SVT let us see the emojis people were sending. That's fun now. I enjoy that a lot.
Well, I'll tell you,
these emojis that you're getting from consumers.
Oh yes. Yeah. Sometimes just replying stop isn't good enough. They need pictures to tell you.
Yeah, but when they engage in two-way text, though, when they engage in two-way text, Megan, these text collectors versus those that are on the phone, tell me about the difference in performance there.
In the what? I'm sorry.
Those agents that are collecting by two-way text versus by phone, those engagements, tell me about those success rates.
Well, we don't have any collectors that engage two-way.
When they respond.
When they respond, there's two of us that control the responding. Yeah. And then, you know, hopefully, I thought we were almost getting there until this virus hit, but you know, we want to get our integration a little farther along that, you know, when the whole texting conversation is then noted into the account so that, you know, the collector that, you know, the owner of that account can actually see. Right now, I just have to go in and kind of, you know, note what I've pretty much said. But hopefully once we're fully integrated and everything, you know, that will automatically load into the account.
So Mike, what I'll say, and we don't have enough data to really build this, really strengthen our case yet. And we were working towards that until the pandemic hit. But the biggest thing that we notice is that folks that we had called for weeks and months, several times, never picked up once, respond to a text message within 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it opened up to a whole new population that we could then begin engaging and have conversations with, understand their situations and be able to say, hey, we do have potential solutions for you, and then have those conversations.
Yeah. Takes, you know, it takes a little bit of pride to have to call, you know, to say, I can't make my payment. I can't afford it, you know, and if they can do that over text instead of verbally, then, you know, it works out better for everybody. And we can text and go on, you know, you can do a lot of multitasking when you're texting rather than just sitting on the phone. And, you know, that's the only thing you have to do right then. So, I think people just prefer it.
Rich, circling back to what you just said, you had people you were reaching out to and had never responded to. Did you start, and then this hit, is that when you sort of made a conscious decision, hey, let's just send them a text message and see what happens?
Yeah, to take a step back, we've been using outbound text messaging campaigns for, you know, going on 5 years now with a fair amount of success. And we were rolling out our two-way capabilities right around the beginning of the year. And we had a couple of campaigns. We learned quite a bit early on in our first two campaigns that we paused and made the process better. We streamlined it for the agents. We were able to really build specific cues within the SVT portal, which helped our agents from an inventory management standpoint. We began ramping it up, and then that's when kind of the pandemic hit. So it was really all hands on deck to move folks into a voice mode and be able to handle the inbound calls. But we're excited to kind of take that next step now and really evolve the two-way capabilities.
Got it. We've got a couple more questions that have come in. Both are on the topic of consent. Maybe we can try and knock them out quickly. One for Roseanne. When you have a company that is doing the billing for a medical company, and the medical company gets consent up front saying that both companies can text, does that consent legally carry over to the collector? And I'll remind everybody that this is not legal advice. You're still muted, Roseanne.
I tend to be on mute when I'm not speaking.
Okay.
So anyway, not that I have a dog or anything, but
or ducks.
Or ducks, like in your case later today. Anyway, to answer your question, yes, that kind of pass-through consent is valid legal consent. It's transferred from the medical provider that you described, and it's going on to the billing company or to the collection agency. It sounds like they even had a very broadly written consent, such that you're confident that it, even in writing, it extended to parties beyond the medical provider. So I would be very comfortable with that. With everyone, you always have to remember, and this is why I'm such a huge fan of the SBT solution, you always have to remember when a number is reassigned, not ported, but disconnected or deactivated and reassigned to another consumer, now the consent that I gave you when I was in the hospital has, and I my number was deactivated in my hypothetical, and now Rich has that phone number, you still run the risk of now calling Rich, even though you think you have my consent. So I always like to caution people that the need to be mindful of who is the associated owner of the number is extremely important. But the short answer to your question is yes, it's valid consent.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. And Mike, we've got one for you. Does Solutions by Text have a way to get that consent for marketing by text and hold that consent for a period of time?
Sure. When it comes to marketing, it requires separate explicit consent for marketing. Oftentimes there's a opt-in confirmation message that has to go out by text for transactional messages, but then a message can follow that that says reply yes to this message to approve marketing messages. And if they reply yes to that, then you have documented consent for those marketing category messages. Now, I'll say this though, that if they have an account with you and they get some kind of solicitation message that would be deemed as marketing, if they reply stop to that, you can stop marketing, then they can reply stop all and stop all messages from your brand.
Got it. Okay. Let's stick with you, Mike, for this one. We've talked a little bit about employees, but now that you, as you can see, all of us here on the panel are at home and there's so many in the industry who are working remotely. Maybe you can talk a little bit about how text messaging can be a communication tool within a company, between a company and its employees.
Well, Megan touched on it. One of the fastest growing categories of messaging right now, we call this team text. So we create a completely separate layer of your org tree and all of your employees can be opted in. And it's not just your customers that read all their text messages, it's your employees too. And this is a fantastic way to keep your employees informed on what's going on with your organization and adjustments that you're making. I think I'd also add the thought of this based on this conversation. Your customers are now more available than ever. So the contact rates, the response rates are higher than they've been. And to Megan's point, people can multitask. So where they may not be able to use their phone because they were at work previously, now they're at home. So response rates are going through the roof. But I can't reinforce the importance of keeping your staff informed as well. And once again, the power of video, an executive update from your team telling your staff, we're going to get through this, and just providing encouragement and calming their anxieties as we work through these circumstances, Mike. Okay.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to assume that, you know, you're connecting with your employees at Solutions by Text by text message. I'm curious if any of the other panelists are using it as a communication tool within their companies and how it's been going.
We are not, as far as, we have not used SBT for our employees. As generic as it sounds, we have an employee Facebook page. And that's where we do a lot of our, you know, fun stuff to one another, but also, hey, this is what's up, because that's just how we've done it in the past. But so no, we do not.
Okay.
I could speak to that unless Rich wants to go first. You care to jump in?
Yeah. No? So for us, we haven't leveraged text messaging, you know, with the work from home environment that we've been in the past 4 weeks, but it's heavy video conference calls and kind of like internal instant messaging.
Okay. And I can say at Ontario Systems, we have our crisis management plan does hinge on text messaging. In other words, various departments and leaders are call to action, so to speak, via text messaging, among other things. So that's one use case. What I'm also aware of, and this particular example is in the mid to smaller size agency. Now that collectors are at home, they no longer have a live team member standing right there. They can't go like, come here, you know, or I have a question. What they can do now is they have the ability to text their team lead, their floor manager, their whatever. And that is a supplement to that kind of communication while you're talking in a live call with the consumer. That's just one use case. But we have seen that. All of that triggers a new kind of responsibility on the part of the company to make sure that they have the right to erase their employees' phones with regard to any proprietary information. If you do not want to have PII being transmitted back and forth via text, etc. But in terms of having a good way to, better than email, a good way to replace the live manager standing next to you and while you're collecting is via text.
Okay. I'll speak as someone who works on his own, by his own. I text myself all the time. So.
You? I've been known to do that, actually.
I'm curious, Mike. We've clearly established that text messaging is here to stay. It's a great way to stay in touch with people. If I wasn't doing text messaging already, is now a good time to try it? And I'm gonna, and maybe you can provide some evidence to sort of, or sort of to back that up.
Well, yeah, you know, we've already touched on this. There was a question earlier about, you know, how you go about standing text service up. Once again, if you're not texting, these set of circumstances that we're facing has created and revealed that you have to be texting. It's created even a greater sense of urgency. I would just say that the easiest way for me to discuss this with an organization individually would just be to set up a webinar. You can use my digital business card. Just text the word Mike to the short code 77513. And a short code is the 5-digit number that your agency should be texting on, not long codes. But if you text Mike to 77513, it'll send you all my contact information. It's never been easier to use a compliant software that manages the consent and cell phone deactivations combined with a file drop automation environment so that you could stand up a pilot program very quickly and talk in great detail about the consent and permission requirements for that. I'll go more into that with those organizations that need that additional assistance. Okay, Mike?
Sure, absolutely. I'm curious what feedback you're getting from clients and creditors about how you're deploying text messages during the crisis. Is it something you're talking to your clients and creditors about? Is it something they're asking you to do more of, less of? What sort of feedback are you getting from them, Rich and then Megan?
So I think for our team specifically, we have several kind of different listening posts for our customers across the customer journey. And I think the one thing that has been pretty evident is that folks have been very appreciative that you know, the solutions that they need are out there, that we've been able to help them get through this, at least in the short term. And hopefully, you know, we come out stronger on the back end. But they are reaching out for help, and the faster that we can proactively get information out to the customers, the better, and they appreciate it. And whether it's just a quick message, hey, you know, this is a big relief for my family and I, or, you know, we were in a really tough spot, we appreciate what Best Egg has done for us. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, and I think most of our clients, they appreciate the text messages more because, I feel like it always goes back to, that's what we're all used to right now. That's we're all texting. Everybody's texting. Everybody, you know, you can read it. Well, if you're me, you know, if you don't hear back from me in an hour or two, text me again, because I will look and set it down and forget. But, you know, it's more convenient. It's more, you can get more information, and then it's in your hands to do what you want with it, when you want to do it with it. And I think a lot of our clients appreciate that we give that avenue, you know, and we use that avenue to give the other three or four avenues, you know, so you're not hounding, you're not, you know, you're giving it to the consumer and saying, here you go, here's your info. Now you do what you want with it when you want to do it, you know, and if you do nothing, then we'll talk to you in a few days.
You know, I'd like to add a thought to this, because as we're kind of getting close to the end of our time, there's just a couple of things that I want to make sure I reiterate. And that the first one is this: the content of the language in these messages is so critical. These carriers are very closely scrutinizing, especially in the third-party collection space, what you can say in these text messages. Now, Roseanne will echo this as far as the requirements from an FDCPA standpoint, but there's specific language like past due and to avoid legal action and things of this nature that you can't put in a text message. Now, if you're using other providers, you need to be very cognizant of this, because so far this industry does not have any black eyes when it comes to the utilization of text. We all have a responsibility. See, I heard that said already on this call today. We have a responsibility to protect the execution requirements of utilizing text in the space. You also heard Megan say this is a great opportunity for customers to get more information, is what she said. Now, another best practice that's emerging and a significant savings is the utilization of smart URLs that take customers to their letters. The question is, can you send letters by text? Yes, you can. This is a great way to get information to customers faster and offset tremendous postage costs. So maybe on another webinar sometime, we can go into that in greater detail, but I'll pause right there. That's just my 2 cents.
Well, I appreciate that. We only have a few minutes left. We do have a few questions in the queue, and I'm going to use this as a final reminder to let everybody know, if you have a question for our panel, type it into the Q&A box on your Zoom webinar control panel, and we'll try and get an answer to the next few minutes. Let's see, let's go through these questions. Is Solutions by Text integrated to Ontario Systems, InterPros, Collect, DebtMaster, and others? Mike, I'm going to guess that's for you.
The answer is yes.
Going on a limb there. Okay, excellent. That was easy. Let's see here. Another question for Roseanne. Does a debt buyer still have valid consent when they have bought medical debt that is 6 to 8 months old and they do not have any original documentation from where the account was originated? Go ahead, legal advice away.
Yeah, legal advice away. Debt buyers are in a precarious situation in that regard. Because now you are standing as the new creditor, if you will, but you're also, wearing the cloak of a third-party debt collector as well. So I believe my recommendation would be for debt buyers, including medical debt buyers, absent some very specific language in the admission form or the hospital admission form, et cetera, very specific language that it would apply to any holder of the debt of all right, title, and interest downstream, so to speak. I would say that you need to obtain consent to text directly from the patient or the guarantor. I also want to throw in very quickly, and if you'd like to call me or talk to me about that, I'd be happy to go through that in more detail. I'd also like to comment with regard to the mailing of letters and using a URL, just very quickly, two things. The CFPB has gone to great lengths in its proposed rules to make using a URL super difficult, just extremely burdensome. And I would love if Solutions by Text or people like Rich or Megan, if you have any, we're not ever looking for the names of consumers, for heaven's sakes, or account numbers, but even anecdotal evidence that would support the fact that consumers click on your links already. The CFPB has this belief that people have been taught don't click on links, so then they don't click on the link, and then they don't get the information, and it's just this vicious cycle. So they want people to jump through all these hoops to make sure the consumer knows that it's a safe link. Anyway, I just want to mention that as an industry, it would be helpful to be able to comment on how people click, how they use and access links when they know it's coming from you already. And then the other comment very quickly is that letters are truly, I'm a huge fan of using text messages as the delivery vehicle for a letter, a payment reminder, a receipt. But if e-sign consent is triggered, such as with a validation notice, I would not jump to using links to validation notices without further detailed advice from your lawyers, because there are a couple of extra things you need to know.
I agree. My comment there is there is, and our service does provide the trackability. So in many instances, if you have to have documentation that URL was linked, to not have to mail the letter, Those capabilities are out there.
And you do it well. It's awesome. It's a great service.
Thank you.
And just what I would say, Roseanne, is one thing that's critical is building a rapport with your consumers and letting them know that we communicate via text. So for us, you know, as soon as we originate a loan, they get an introductory welcome text from Best Egg. And some folks, you know, will get a couple of text messages over the course of the year. So when there's specific links that we want to send them, they know where they're coming from, the dedicated short code, Mike mentioned that earlier. So they know that it's trusted. We have a specific cadence in maybe the wording and the scripting of our text messages that's pretty consistent time over time. And we do leverage the shortened URLs that Mike's team can help us create. And we can, you know, brand them as Best Egg. So that's been helpful so far.
Great.
I have a question.
Are you allowed to ask questions?
All of a sudden, I'm thinking of this scenario that, I kind of want to ask Roseanne for the non-legal advice on this, but, you know, when we have consumers on the phone and, you know, there are always going to be people that are more tech savvy than other people, okay? I know how to put my phone on speaker and read a text or, you know, any of that. But a lot of people, they can't. No. So, you know, we send out that opt-in text that has a 4 or 5 digit number, you know, that then they're to read back to us. And that's how we, you know, gain consent and opt them in. So what about for the consumers that can't? So they get off the phone with us and they text back their 4 or 5 number opt-in code to us. So my question is, and we haven't been, and now I'm thinking, I don't know if we can or not. Can we then use that as the consent if they text it back to us?
Yes. What were they doing before?
Before we have them, we generally have them read it to us while we're on the phone, and then.
Oh no! They could text it back.
Okay.
Because it's still the same concept. Is that's how they're identifying and showing that they are opting into your program, correct?
Right, and we've always just kind of erred on the side of caution on that, I guess, to have also the voice recording of them, you know, reading it back to us. And
no, I think that's nice, but you talk to Mike, because they have a pretty nifty way of doing it where you get that opt-in when they send that number back via text, and that works as well, just as well.
We'll talk about that.
Excellent. Well, we've just about run out of time, but before we do hang up and end this event, what I'd like to do is go around the panel and give everybody a chance to summarize their thoughts, share any concluding remarks, you know, any parting words of wisdom, anything they didn't get a chance to talk about but wanted to, their best Easter recipes, whatever they want to share before we wrap up. I'm just going to go in order across. Left to right from my screen. So Rich, you're going to go first.
Sure. So yeah, I don't have any recipes that folks would probably want to hear about, but I will say texting is a critical part of our business. We use it throughout our customer life cycle. we found it to be effective in terms of keeping our customers up to date with servicing capabilities, new additions to our servicing website, but then also a great tool with collections. And it definitely does open up the world to a population of folks that just will not respond and pick up the phone.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Megan?
Yeah, I guess the only thing I'd like to say is for anybody out there that's not using text messaging, I think you're shorting yourself for a plethora of reasons. I mean, I could go on and on and on about how wonderful texting is, from keeping postage down to, you know, your collectors having the ability to the 5-day payment reminders, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But I definitely think if it's not something that you're doing or right now, that it's something you should definitely look into. It's, you know, back in the day it was phones. Then it became, oh, now we can mail letters. You know, everything evolves, and where we're at, and you know, in the evolution right now is text messaging. So I would just encourage everybody, you know, no matter who you choose to use or what you choose to do, to get on the text messaging bandwagon. And we're having duck legs for Easter.
There's a whole backstory to that.
Oh my God,
I'll
happily tell you.
Oh my God.
If you reach out to her. Mike?
My final thought would be this. I agree with Megan. Whether you're using our service or another provider out there, I hope that you've learned some very beneficial information from this call today. I would finish by saying this. When you text your customers, they text you back. The holy grail of texting is two-way texting. This is how they prefer to engage you. And to Rich's point, in many instances where they're not taking your phone calls and they're not answering the phone, they're going to text you back. So when you start putting this into play, you need to be thinking in advance, at some point in time, sooner than later, how are we going to manage these responses? Because when you text them, they're going to text you back.
Yes, they are.
Well said. Roseanne?
Just a couple of very, very short comments. We have been focusing or mentioning two-way texting. I hope the audience understands that the definition is pretty obvious. If I text you, then you can text me. But if you are not ready for that, I know that SBT, and this is not just a plug for them. It is a plug, but it's not just a plug. There's also a short code program, and short codes work very well as for consumers who simply, it's kind of like if you want to call your bank and you get the balance, you don't really want to talk about it. You just want the balance already. Or what's the next payment date? Or did you get my last payment? Like, there are certain questions consumers just may have that they can automatically get the response to using a short code text program. That it is also a very successful way to service your population. Two-way texting just adds that much more to the conversation, actually creates a conversation so that you can add more color to the question that they're actually asking. But if you're a little bit on the fence, I hope no one's in the camp, well, are you sure we can still text under the app? Yes, you can text already. It's how you text that is the question. And then the baby step, first enter into short codes if you're a little confused about two-way, but two-way texting is where it's at. And you just need guidance, and it'll work.
Well said. Well, Megan, Mike, Rich, Roseanne, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you sharing your insights and your perspective with us. This was an awesome conversation. Thank you.
No problem.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Thank you. Happy Easter.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot to everybody for participating today. Thanks to everybody who asked questions. Thanks again, one last time, to Solutions by Text for sponsoring today's webinar. Please go to www.solutionsbytext.com to learn more. A recording of this event will be posted to the webinar recordings page at accountsrecovery.net, in the next day or so. I hope everybody is staying safe. Everybody stay well. Everybody have a happy Easter, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks, buddy.